Once I've installed Windows PowerShell or I've upgraded to Windows 10, then I have access to Windows PowerShell 5. I can use my PS version table automatic variable, press enter, and it comes back and tells me that I'm running Windows PowerShell 5. See, it says PowerShell version right there, 5 point. Notice that it also says that there's compatible versions 1, 2, 3, and 4. This doesn't mean that everything I can do in PowerShell 5 will work in PowerShell 1, 2, 3, and 4, but what it does mean is that stuff I can do in PowerShell 1, 2, 3, and 4 will work in Windows PowerShell 5. Yeah, that makes sense because if I do a git command, and I pipe this out to measure, then it'll come back and it tells me I got 1325 commandlets slash functions that are built in by default on Windows PowerShell 5. If you remember all the way back to Windows PowerShell 1, then you remember that there was 128, I think 129 commandlets that shipped with that. So obviously, yeah, there's like 1200 and some commandlets that did not exist in PowerShell 1, and so therefore I can't use PowerShell 5 stuff in PowerShell 1, but I can absolutely positively use stuff that I wrote in PowerShell 1 and it'll work in PowerShell 5. One of the things to keep in mind, though, is that there could probably be a lot better ways of doing things. This is one of the things that's actually kind of interesting. So when I do a search for something out on the internet, quite often the search result comes back with the thing that's like kind of been around the longest. And so many, many, many times I find articles that were written 5, 6 years ago about, an early version of Windows PowerShell. And then I turn around and I see stuff, that's written from people recently, and they're still using, kind of older methodologies and stuff. Yeah, that's fine. It works, but one of the things that we make improvements to PowerShell with each version is to try to make things easier. So, for instance, and on Windows 10, with PowerShell 5, then that becomes even easier. So, for instance, in the old days, I would have to use, WMI, to find out information about disk drives or something. And so, we would use git WMI object and notice tab expansion kind of, yeah, I guess it'd be a bit of a challenge, when I'm using, on get WMI object. There we go. I'd say 132 underscore volume and press enter and it brings back a bunch of stuff. And this works great. It's not a hard command to remember, or anything like that. And I can look and I can see that, yeah, there's information here. Now, beginning in PowerShell 3, we added the sim commandlets. So I can type git sim instance, and this is actually faster, 132 underscore volume. And when I press this, then we can come back. We can see that the information comes back actually faster, than it did with the other stuff. The other good thing about git sim instance is, it's firewall friendly. It runs over, WinRM. Instead of DCOM, which is what git WMI object. So that's one of the easy things that we can do in newer versions of, Windows PowerShell, is just, simply pretty much, cut and replace, git WMI object over to a git sim instance. Yeah, but anyway, beginning on, I think like Windows 8, we introduced git volume. And so I press enter and boom, it comes back and there's my information. And so it tells me right here I've got a nice, pretty, formatted output here, about this. Now, because of my screen resolution and the stuff like that, yeah, it's a bit scrunched. Yeah, well, that's fine. So I can pipe this if I want to format list. Which is something that I do if I'm just looking at something on my computer here. Yeah, and so then, hey, guess what? This looks an awful lot like that output, that we got earlier from 132 underscore volume. Yeah, and exactly that's what git volume is doing. Yeah, just kind of wrapping this up and giving us, you know, what I like to say, the greatest hits view, you know, so, that comes over here. And like I said, if I had smaller font or, you know, wider stuffy here, you know, then this would show up a little bit better. Well, that's not necessarily a PowerShell 5 thing, though. You know, some of the things that we've added that's actually really cool is, so for instance, I can say git hex. Git hex. That's it's not git hex. It's you know, let's see, git command hex. Format hex. Okay, so I can take a string here, like this is a string, and I can pipe it to format hex. And format hex, and boom, it converted it into hexadecimal. That's actually kind of cool. One of the things that's really neat, though, is that I can also use format hex and give it a path, and it's like almost always a path when, you know, when we're going to do something. And the neat thing about this is it'll actually read a file and then give me a hexadecimal output of the contents of that file. And so there it is. And so this comes back and it gives me the contents of this file in hexadecimal. So this is actually kind of cool. It's just not revolutionary. I mean, I've written scripts that did stuff like this before, but yeah, dude, now this is just like right there and it's really easy. I can, there's another command that works with GUIDs. So if I say git command and I look for GUID, type in here, it's new GUID. Okay, so that would give me a new GUID, and so there's me a new GUID. I may want to use this globally unique identifier, you know, for something. And again, you know, this isn't something that's like, you know, really like, you know, revolutionary, but it's like really easy. Yeah, and I've written scripts before. Actually, I've written one liners, you know, that got a new GUID, and but yeah, here it is. It's nice. It's actually pretty cool. We also have added in some clipboard commandlets. So I can say git command and look for a noun of clipboard and press enter and we get git clipboard and set clipboard. And so there again, you know, I can pipe a string to this and I can say, you know, set clipboard and there it is. Yeah, and then I can get the clipboard and you know, bring this stuff back from the there. And so there's my string from the clipboard. This works out pretty cool. Yeah, if that's all I was going to do, yeah, then more than likely, yeah, I would just you know, take my string and pipe it to the clip executable. But and so then I can paste that as well, you know, into another application. But what Git Clipboard and Set Clipboard is actually really cool about, though, is that we actually get objects. And so based upon those, then I can actually manipulate those objects. And I wrote an article earlier this week where I was talking about manipulating those objects from the clipboard, which actually is kind of cool. So there's a lot of really neat stuff that we can look at here in Windows PowerShell 5. But yeah, I encourage you to get it, to kind of play with it. Yeah, you know, one of the first things you want to do, of course, is you want to open Windows PowerShell with admin rights, and I don't have it right here. You type in update help. And it'll go off and it'll update your help from the internet. So you can see a little progress bar runs along here. Now, I'm not going to, this will not update my help because I'm not running PowerShell with admin rights. If I run update help more than once a day, which is like, I guess if you're like, you're really, really hardcore wanting to check for updates, then you need to use the dash force. So how do I know what caused all of this massive red here? Well, it tells me right here, Access is denied. Actually, let me highlight it underneath there. So access is denied. So we can't update these help topics because access is denied, which means that I do not have PowerShell running with admin rights. So right-click on PowerShell, say run as admin, then you can type update help, and it will update your help. That's the first thing that you want to do. Now, since I am running on the the desktop version, then I do not have scripting support turned on yet, so it's because I haven't changed my execution policy. When I do, I can say get execution policy. It's restricted right now. So when I set the execution policy, then I come over here. I can set the policy. Remote signed is always good. Tab expansion works for this, which is really nice. The scope, current user. And that's what you want to do. Change it just for yourself and in this particular profile as you're working. The next thing that I like to do is to go ahead and use the force. Because if I don't use the force, then it's going to prompt me, and that gets to be annoying. So now, and the change takes effect immediately. So now I can look and see that my execution policy is set for remote signed. I'm going to change this back to restricted just because I'm not ready to make this change yet. So tab expansion works. This is a nice thing that we did actually in PowerShell 3 is in my console here that when I press tab, we don't delete the remainder of the line. And the other thing you can notice is that we have syntax highlighting now. And this is new in PowerShell 5. And what causes that is if I look at my module, then that we have listed. So it's a PS read line highlighted right there. That's the module that gives me my color coding. It loads by default, even with the execution policy set of restricted, and reads it, it loads it up, and so that gives me my color coding. If I don't want this, or if I'm not ready to do this, then all I do is I can say, get module. I can say remove module and PS read line. Tab expansion works, so I don't have to remember it exactly. I press enter, groovy, it's gone. And so now, then I'm back to my old fashioned color coding and behavior. PS read line is a good thing to have. It gives you a lot of features, and so you don't like delete it off of your system or anything. You may want to unload it if it's causing you behavior that you're not used to, but it's something that definitely would be worthwhile. It's a really nice feature to have in PowerShell 5. So this is kind of a quick overview. Take a look at the articles that I wrote this week on the Hey Scripting Guy blog, and look at those. They're all tagged with PowerShell 5 as a as a tag, so you'll be able to pick them up and get them and look at them pretty good. Hope you have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you later. This is Ed Wilson, the Microsoft Scripting Guy. Bye for now.